Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Bohannon is not here tonight. The big guy's making it a three-day weekend, so it's me again, Jim's pal, Holland Cook. Long time no talk. And tonight we have lots to talk about. This hour, the latest on three developing news stories that have dominated coverage these past several days, all three of which continue to unfold at this hour. And then on the half hour, we're going to open up the phone lines because what all three of the stories we're about to update have in common is you. Have you changed your mind about any or all three of these issues? Story number one, Spill Baby Spill, coming soon to a beach near you. At this hour, oil is on the beach at Grand Isle, Louisiana. Yesterday was 1 month after the explosion on its leased Gulf oil rig, and BP conceded that more oil than it previously estimated is gushing into the Gulf of Mexico. By conservative estimates, what's belched out of this crippled rig and into the Gulf is already half of what the Exxon Valdez spilled. So how do we prevent this from happening again? Joining us live is James E. Carter from Georgia. Not that James Carter from Georgia. For 40 years, Attorney Carter has represented thousands of clients in various class action suits, including before the United States Supreme Court, where he won a rare unanimous decision. Mr. Carter is the lead attorney in a lawsuit just filed on behalf of Georgians whose Gulf Shore property has, he is arguing, already suffered from the spill. Mr. Carter, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. It's great to be with you. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Now, describe the damage that you are representing your clients have suffered.
The damage that we're looking at is known generally as diminution of value. That is, if you have a piece of property and the value decreases because of an event that someone caused, then that entity or that outfit is liable to you for the loss of economic value to your property. And in this case, we have clients who have rental properties. We have clients who own property there. Our rental clients are having cancellations already a year in advance, and the reservation rate is down, and they will continue to suffer the loss of rentals because of increased cancellations. The people that own the property down there probably couldn't sell it for anything right now, but the value is diminished, the market is shutting down, and these people are losing money. If not in income, they're losing money in property value.
Well, see, this is a wrinkle we haven't heard reported much because we're hearing about ecological disaster, but what you're describing is a big psychological component to the real estate industry, where the perception is we don't want to go vacation there, and your clients are already damaged as a result of that perception even before the goo hits the beach, right?
That's exactly right, because nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody's holding their breath. And nobody's willing to make a financial commitment either to rent or buy any of these properties right now.
Who is the defendant in the action you have filed?
We have filed against BP, Halliburton, and Transocean.
Your resume reads like a series of David and Goliath stories, and it's hard to picture a Goliath bigger than British Petroleum. What hope does the little guy have against a defendant that big and powerful?
Well, that's the beauty of the American legal system. Everybody stands on the same foot in court. Realistically, however, as you probably realize, is the fact that they have a lot of money to fight these things. And the only hope that we have is to join together in the legal profession, pool our resources, and stand united with our people in, you know, fighting somebody this big. We have numerous lawyers associations across the country, various specialties where we join together, share information, and try to at least have a level playing field.
And all of your clients are in Georgia?
My clients are Georgians who own property interests, although we have cast our case as national in scope so that we can help anybody who has property down there. Although, as you probably are well aware, there are many class actions that have been filed, around the Gulf Coast states.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's hard to imagine that the Gulf Coast in Florida, that your counterparts there aren't working up the same action.
They are indeed, and there are meetings going along around the coast in Houston and in Louisiana and in Florida, as well as Mississippi. There's a class action suit filed in Alabama. So there are many of us who are working to try to help our clients.
Did you see the movie Erin Brockovich?
Ms. Brockovich has been at some of the meetings that we've attended in the past, not on this particular incident.
No kidding. How true to life was what was depicted in that movie? Because what you're up to reminds me of what we saw in Erin Brockovich.
Not that far off. She was a very special paralegal, a very brilliant young woman. When I look at the movie, it's close enough to reality to me where I can sit there and sweat with them, where, you know, I can empathize with them. And you get the feel and the sense of the entire spectrum of emotions that we go through on these kinds of cases.
All right. Quickly, Attorney Carter, what happens next?
Well, what happens next is we start our discovery process. It will probably come to what we call a multi-district litigation panel, which is going to take all the cases in the federal court and say, these cases are going to be consolidated for the purposes of discovery. We will set up committees of lawyers who will have specialized parts to play in this thing, and a judge will eventually be assigned to it, whether it'll be in Houston, as some people want it to be, whether it'll be in Louisiana, as some people want it to be, we don't know. But it'll probably be consolidated into a united multi-district litigation.
But discovery gets you past the stone wall that BP has put up to date. You're going to get the first look at some documents that we haven't seen yet, correct?
We will, and it's an interesting phenomenon. I'm certainly not trying to say that we lawyers do a better job of this than the federal agencies do. However, we generally can spend more time on it and more resources in finding out what's really going on and through the discovery process, and we'll probably act a little bit quicker than the government agencies typically do.
Well, let's hope. Hey, before I let you go, I got to ask, living in Georgia and being James E. Carter, can you get restaurant reservations anywhere?
You know, he was a governor here before he was president, so
sure.
I enjoyed the wordplay a lot.
I take it you're not known as Jimmy.
A lot of people call me Jimmy. That was my nickname.
Well, thank you for being with us tonight, Attorney James E. Carter from Georgia, and best of luck with your action.
Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
You bet. That is story number one. Have you changed your mind about Drill Baby Drill? And when we come back, story number two, Kentucky Rand keeps falling down. This is the Jim Bohannon Show. It's the Bohannon Show, sans Jimbo, Holland Cook sitting in tonight. If you look up emotional roller coaster in the dictionary, you might see a picture of Rand Paul. Tuesday night, when he won Kentucky's Republican nomination to seek the U.S. Senate seat Jim Bunning will vacate, he was hailed. By Thursday morning, he was fighting for political survival. Like his dad, Congressman Ron Paul, Rand Paul is a doctor. And like his dad, who was the renegade among Republicans during the 2008 presidential primaries, the younger Paul is also a Tea Party retort to political business as usual. The Washington establishment threw everything they had at him, and yet he prevailed, applauded Senator Jim DeMint, Republican, South Carolina, who called Paul's win part of an American awakening. That Washington establishment was led by no less than the Senate Minority Leader, Kentucky's own Mitch McConnell, who backed Rand Paul's opponent in the primary. McConnell and Paul will join hands tomorrow at a unity rally in Frankfort, Kentucky. Paul was still on national television this morning, and he still can't seem to cough up a short no answer to questions like, should a restaurant be able to refuse service to anyone they choose to? What message does that send voters in a southern state where our black president has a 37% approval rating? The other night, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow had an extraordinary interview with Paul, and from that interview,
Well, what it gets into is that then if you decide that restaurants are publicly owned and not privately owned, then do you say that you should have the right to bring your gun into a restaurant?
Now he has introduced guns into the equation. By the next morning, he had released a statement that read, "I unequivocally state that I will not support any efforts to repeal the Civil Rights Act of 1964. When asked about Paul's statement, Senator DeMint said that he, too, supported the Civil Rights Act of 1964. In a 2002 letter to the editor of the Bowling Green Daily News, Paul questioned the Federal Fair Housing Act. Should discrimination be prohibited for public, taxpayer-financed institutions, such as schools, to reject somebody based on an individual's belief or attributes? Most certainly, he wrote. And he added, should it be prohibited for private entities such as a church, bed and breakfast, or retirement neighborhood that doesn't want noisy children? Absolutely not. Decisions concerning private property and associations should, in a free society, be unhindered. As a consequence, some associations will discriminate. A free society will abide unofficial private discrimination, even when that means allowing hate-filled groups to exclude people based on the color of their skin," close quote. Reacting, House Majority Whip James Clyburn told MSNBC he calls himself a libertarian. "I think he's something else." New news you may not have heard yet, Rand Paul has just canceled his appearance on Meet the Press Sunday morning. So question number two, when we open up the phone lines on the half hour, have you changed your mind about this particular candidate who has attracted national attention, or generally about the Tea Party's stance that government should butt out about civil rights, about regulating offshore drilling, about all the things the Tea Party thinks the government should butt out of? That's story number two. Story number three that we've been staring at for the last several days, chaos in Connecticut. It looked like a lock when United States Senator Christopher Dodd announced that he wouldn't run for re-election this fall. State Attorney General Richard Blumenthal seemed the heir apparent. Now his campaign is in chaos after a page one New York Times article this week exposed false claims that he had served in Vietnam, just in time for his party's state convention underway right now. Here's the backstory. After receiving five draft deferments during the Vietnam War, Blumenthal enlisted in the Marine Reserves in 1970, and he says he didn't pull any strings to get in, although at the time he was working in the Nixon White House. Since the war, Blumenthal has been a conspicuous advocate for his state's veterans. In a speech in 2008, he said, "I remember the taunts, the insults, sometimes even the physical abuse that returning Vietnam vets suffered," and he added,
"We have learned something very important since the days that I served in Vietnam."
Fast forward to Tuesday, New York Times, page one, he never served in Vietnam. That afternoon, flanked by aging veterans, Blumenthal stated the following in a hastily arranged press conference televised nationally.
"I have misspoken about my service, and I regret that, and I take full responsibility. But I will not allow, anyone to take a few misplaced words and impugn my record of service to our country."
Joining us live is Connecticut talk radio host Tom Scott, who served five terms in the Connecticut Senate alongside then-Senator Richard Blumenthal. Tom, what's the buzz coming out of that state convention there tonight?
The convention has recessed until tomorrow. Tomorrow they get the gubernatorial stuff out of the way. Tonight it was the U.S. Senate, and they nominated Richard Blumenthal to replace Senator Dodd by acclamation. And I didn't hear the band strike up Happy Days Are Here Again, however. I did see one report where the congressional delegation supported Blumenthal's decision to stay in the race, but a number of people were quoted as saying it was an awkward embrace. And I think it is a little awkward right now.
Now, before all of this awkward stuff, Tom, what was Blumenthal's reputation there in Connecticut?
Well, it depends. Overall, it was this guy is a Boy Scout, and it was self-serving, I think, for the press and the media in Connecticut to prop this guy up because he was an aggressive attorney general, I think an abusive attorney general. He abused his office going after people unnecessarily in order to get a headline, but he made good copy. The press propped him up, and he was viewed as a crusader, an honest guy, and someone who was there to fight for the people. Now, I don't want to sound like I'm clairvoyant or anything, but for years I've been saying that this guy is a weasel, and I didn't have a lot of credibility on the question. I think people are taking a second look now.
Who else is running for Chris Dodd's Senate seat?
Well, there was one other Democrat. He got out tonight. It was very clear that he wasn't going to be able to primary. But you've got three Republicans. You've got Linda McMahon, the founder and co-owner of the World Wide Wrestling Federation, Peter Schiff, a libertarian who's running as a Republican. He's a financial analyst who predicted the economic meltdown that we all saw a couple of years ago. And Rob Simmons, a former state legislator, former congressman, and a decorated Vietnam veteran and a former member of the CIA.
And Simmons has been fairly low profile during all this Vietnam fib flap, eh?
I think he's played it very, very well, and I think actually he benefits because Linda McMahon, now think about this, Linda McMahon has said she will write out a check for as much as $50 million for her own self-financed campaign. Now in Little Connecticut, that's a lot of money. In California, with all of its media markets, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, but to buy TV time in Hartford and New Haven, that'll go a long way.
And the New York market to some extent for Fairfield County, the west end of our state. But I think integrity is going to be a huge issue in Connecticut. And Rob Simmons, I think, is the beneficiary of that. He's a solid guy, humble guy, not as conservative as some of us would like, but a solid, trustworthy guy. And that'll go a long way in this election.
Anybody who's following the story should bookmark Tom's website, tomscottreports.com. And Tom, before I get to the break and then get to the phones, I want to put you on the spot. Your prediction, what's going to come of Blumenthal?
Well, I think Blumenthal is going to stay in the race. The Democratic Party embraced him tonight. I think they're going to circle the wagons. You know, this is not what was expected, Holland, here or in Washington. They really thought that Blumenthal was the savior to the Dodd ethical problem. Dodd was out of the way. Blumenthal was unbeatable. Now it's a competitive race. I think the wind is at the back of any Republican that takes this guy on, because we're going to see other shoes drop here, Holland. I have no doubt about that.
Oh, the night is young, yep.
The bloom is off the rose, and he's now below 50%, according to the Rasmussen poll, in terms of favorability. And that's a pretty low point to be since he was at 70%.
Thank you, Connecticut Talk Radio host Tom Scott, tomscottreports.com. After the half-hour break, we're going to go to the phones, and we want you to weigh in on all three of these major developing stories. Have you changed your mind? I'm Holland Cook. This is the Jim Bohannon Show. We'll be right back. It's the Jim Bohannon Show, with or without the big lug who's got the night off, but you and I do not. I'm Holland Cook, sitting in for Jimbo, and we have just updated you on three developing stories that are unfolding as we speak and have had our attention this week. Story one, have you changed your mind about drill, baby, drill? Story two, have you changed your mind about Rand Paul or about the Tea Party or about how much government should and shouldn't regulate stuff like civil rights and offshore drilling and big finance? Have you changed your mind about a candidate who falsely claims to have served in Vietnam? 1-866-505-4626. I want to know how you feel about any or all three of these developing stories. If you get the busy signal, hang up and call right back, because I want to move through the calls as quick as I can to take your pulse. 1-866-50-JIMBO. 1-866-505-4626. 4626. And when you go online to jimbotalk.net, the poll that we're putting up says, who do you believe is most responsible for the oil rig explosion and subsequent massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico? Your choices are BP, British Petroleum, the ultimate owner of the rig, or Transocean, the builder and servicer of the rig, or Halliburton, a subcontractor suspected of doing substandard work, or the federal government for lack of proper oversight and regulation. You can weigh in on that online at jimbotalk.net, and you will see the results Monday. But first things first, let's go to the phones and talk to David from Louisville. David, thanks for calling the Jim Bohannon Show. What do you think about these stories?
As far as the drill, baby, drill, I'm from Louisiana, and, you know, we have a lot of oil and whatnot. You know, we've had oil in Grand Isle my whole life.
On the beach?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, and we used to not go because you'd get tar on your feet. So, you know, that's nothing new, and it happens and whatever. And, you know, they've gotten better at doing that kind of stuff, whatever. So it's an unfortunate thing, but it doesn't mean that we shouldn't go after oil. And it surely doesn't mean that we should stop drilling. As far as Rand Paul, I live in Kentucky now and been here for, you know, 13 years. And I'm still trying to find fault with what he said. He's not saying that people shouldn't be treated, you know, whatever. What I think he said, and he's right in that, is that the government shouldn't tell you how to treat somebody. For example, look at professional baseball. Did we need a law saying that we had to let, you know, minorities into baseball? No, because, A, it's the right thing to do, and, two, you're going to suffer if you don't. If you're the team that doesn't have a Jackie Robinson or, you know, Willie Mays or that kind of thing, you're going to get killed. Those, you know, I mean, so you have to go about for the best and the brightest, whatever color they are, and whatever. As far as a person, you know, if you're dumb enough to exclude a race from your life, that's your loss, and you're not going to stay in business long. The government doesn't need to be in the business of telling you who you need to talk to or sell to.
David, you're a dream first caller because you're originally from Louisiana. Now you live in Kentucky. So I'm going to go for the trifecta. Do you have a feeling either way on this Blumenthal story in Connecticut? Is he disqualified from serving in the United States Senate because he lied about serving in Vietnam?
Okay. Did you miss the part about me being from Louisiana? the politicians that lie are a way of life. So, you know, it's not that big a deal to me. I think it just makes him a weasel. But I mean, you know, whether he's disqualified for being whatever, you know, that's for the Democratic voters or the voters for his state to determine.
Well, it's kind of sad though if we expect politicians to be fibbing to us, isn't it?
No, I mean, you know, that's what they do. You know, if it walks like a duck and runs for office, then, you know, it's a ducking politician.
David from Louisville, thank you for calling the Jim Bohannon Show. Let's go to Bedford, Indiana. Roger, what's your take on these stories?
These oil companies ought to have to post a bond before they drill. I don't know how you determine that bond because, you know, the damage can be so incredible, but this $75 million cap should definitely, that law should definitely not be in effect. You ought to be responsible for whatever you do, no matter how much it is.
Hey, no kidding. You rent a bike, you got to put down a deposit, right?
Yeah. And now this, I guess you have to go all the way back to Hillary Clinton when she misspoke about her experiences. Getting some rifle fire.
Oh, the sniper fire, yeah.
You know, she ought to have to explain the difference between misspeaking and telling an out-and-out lie, I guess.
As Dan Rather once said, the camera never blinks.
I can't see the difference between misspeaking and lying myself.
I got you, Roger. Thank you for calling. David, you're from Missouri. Weigh in on these developing stories.
Well, I think we need to drill, baby, drill right here in our country.
But you're undaunted by this ecological disaster.
I don't consider it a disaster. I consider it part of business. You know, the Greens, people like in the Sierra Club and whatnot, they forced our drilling rigs that far out. There's no reason that we have to go a mile down just to hit dirt and then go another 37,000 feet. It's their fault, as far as I'm concerned. They made drilling a disaster the way it is. We need to drill right here. We have plenty of oil right here in the good old U.S. of A., It's easy to access.
How about this proposal now to drill way, way, way up north in Alaska where they wouldn't even be able to get near it to do the kind of things?
Go for it. It's just like it would be like a postage stamp out in the middle of the Sierra Desert for the footprint that it would be.
Just this morning on TV, Rand Paul said mistakes happen. So that's where you come down on the oil thing.
Exactly. I mean, you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to live in a world that there's absolutely no risk? I mean, that's impossible. Come on.
All right. Where do you come down on Rand Paul? Do you have a take on that?
I have a hard time finding that he said anything that's so drastic. I mean, let the government can put rules on government buildings, but if a restaurateur wants to, he's going to suffer for discrimination anyway. So
you're saying ultimately the marketplace would punish him.
The market will weigh that out. The market will level that out.
I got you.
Who
all
wants
right.
to go and eat with bigots? I don't.
Well, and that's essentially what Rand Paul has said. Dave, thank you for calling. Let's go to Doug in Marysville, PA. Doug, what's your take on these stories?
The first one, I agree with the last caller. I would prefer that they go after oil right here on the hard ground. It would be a lot easier to take care of a nightmare situation like we have, as opposed to however many feet they're going down in the ocean to dig up this oil.
Yeah, they're a mile down there.
Yeah, Rand Paul, a couple of callers back. I mean, we expect these people to say these stupid things.
As it comes to this.
It's just kind of the times. I mean, I don't think you can be a politician and you know, speak well. I'm not a politician because I can't speak. Maybe I should think about becoming one. I mean, you know, he makes a statement that people are construing as racist, and I have no issue with that. Maybe it was. Only he would know. But wasn't it Robert Byrd that was a Grand Kleagle in the Ku Klux Klan?
Oh, way back when, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now, what about Blumenthal in Connecticut? Did he cross a line?
Well, again, you know, did you look at the politicians we have in office? I mean, no disrespect, but, you know, Harry Reid reminds me of one of the kids that used to get pushed around in school. I mean, like, and I apologize to AV people everywhere, the audiovisual club. I mean, the pocket protector, the glasses with the tape on them.
Hey, come on, we could thread up those woolen sacks. Just make sure you leave the loop, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe somebody that isn't squeaky clean. I was actually our class president, and I thought about going into politics. I have a very famous great uncle who was lieutenant governor of South Carolina, and he told me years ago that politics was filled with nothing but liars and boobs.
Well, hey, perversely, you know, maybe this makes Rand Paul real. How do you feel about these three developing stories? 1-866-505-4626. We're going to go through the calls as quickly as we can. So if you get the busy signal, hang up and try again. 1-866-50-JIMBO. Even without him, it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook. We'll be right back. It's the Jim Bohannon Show with hopefully affable guest host Holland Cook, and we are talking to you about the three big developing stories that have dominated news coverage these last several days, and have any of them changed your mind? Let's go to Michigan. Judy, what do you think? Drill baby drill, Rand Paul, somebody fibbing about serving in Vietnam. Where do you come down on these things?
Well, my first question is, what's the intellect value or level of your callers? I'm appalled at how they're reacting to your questions. First of all, drill baby drill. How anybody could think that that's a good thing after the situation we're in right now is just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, as if the situation itself was not intrinsically bad enough, the way that it's being handled, Congressman Ed Markey says we just can't trust BP anymore because their nose is getting longer than Pinocchio's. You know, they've been lowballing the numbers all along.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And the gentleman who said that there's been oil on the beach in Louisiana his whole life, Well, if there's been oil all along, what do you think you're going to get now? I think the sand is going to not exist. We're going to be in a whole different world. And for somebody from the north who loves the south as much as we all do and spend as much money as we all do during the winter on southern beaches, it's an absolute crime.
Well, a lot of the talk radio righties are saying that nature will cure all, and what they fail to add is in 10 or 20,000 years. And if you haven't seen it on the History Channel, you should go to the library and rent that Life After People series. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that, but I can only imagine what it has to say about the lack of intelligence on the human race.
Yeah, ultimately, nature will cure whatever man has done. All right, Rand Paul, how does the Tea Party movement play in Michigan where you live?
Well, I don't really have much knowledge about how it plays because I think it's absolutely kind of a waste of time to even think about it.
So I'm thinking you're not in Rand Paul's corner, his camp, ideologically, based on what you said then, huh?
No, I'm not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, your callers made this point about, if you discriminate as a business owner, you're not going to be in business very long. Well, we're talking about a discrimination act that was passed in what year?
Do you think
that business people back then were really thinking that way, or do you think the legislation moved society to act in a way that is appropriate to their fellow man?
Okay, Judy, story number three. Does someone who wants to sit in the United States Senate, let alone somebody who is already his state's attorney general, his state's chief truth teller, is somebody disqualified from either or both by lying about serving in Vietnam?
I would certainly hope so. If we don't have any kind of standards for our politicians, how can we have them for ourselves?
Judy from Niles, Michigan, thank you for calling the Jim Bohannon Show. Let's go to Noel in Alabama. What is your take on all three of these stories?
Well, basically, I just want to say one thing. I think that we're becoming the cause of our own demise because of what happened in Louisiana. It's very acrimonious. Something has to be done. And what's going on is causing a chain reaction, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, one thing is going to affect the other, and so on. When that news came about, I automatically remembered this gentleman who passed away. What was his name? Jacques Cousteau. Remember him?
Oh, sure, yeah.
He used to protect Mother Nature all the way, and I admire him very much. We need to do something. And I think that we need to, like, really, like, not focus too much on who's going to be accountable for that. We need to find a solution fast, right away. I love Mother Nature. I believe that we need to protect our planet. And I don't think we're acting correctly at this time.
Well, this is what's frustrating to see the coverage. They're now showing us satellite photos of the oil slick in that loop current.
Right.
It's about to loop around the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, and it's been a month yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How about the other stories? Rand Paul, Dick Blumenthal. Got a take on those?
Not really. I admire Mr. Rand Paul because he wants to find a solution also, you know, politically, because politicians have become sluggish recently, you know, in the last decade or so. They keep doing the same thing over and over again. I would like to see new people, new faces, you know, implementing new action to make America a better country, because as I can see, I've been doing business with people from other countries. Like today, I was meeting with people from Saudi Arabia. I realized that people from other countries, they're smarter, they're studying more. Here in America, people don't like to study anything. It's a shame.
Well, there's no question, Noel, that this is going to be a tough year for incumbents of either stripe. How do you feel about these three developing stories? 1-866-505-4626. That's 866-50-JIMBO, because it is the Jim Bohannon Show. I am guest host Holland Cook, and we're going to get back to your calls right after this. Even though he is nowhere to be heard tonight, it's still the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Holland Cook in Washington sitting in, and we're taking your calls. Let's go right to Steve in Pittsburgh. Weigh in on these three developing stories that have gotten so much coverage.
Yes, hello. I just like to say, first of all, the oil leak is a disaster. It's a natural disaster. I think it's the worst that I can think of. And I hope they can clean it up and possibly reuse any of the sludge or the stuff that's, you know, they're gathering up if they could. But on the politician question, I just like to say that this guy who's running for senator who lied about his service.
Yeah, what about that?
That's terrible. I mean, he should be out of office and not eligible for any office.
Well, somebody in Connecticut had posted something on that blog I mentioned before, TomScottReports.com, that said not only shouldn't he be our senator, he ought to resign as attorney general for lying about this.
100% there, and then it's a question whether he should be prosecuted for lying about such a thing, but I guess it's not against the law.
Well, in his big press event the other day, he was surrounded by a bunch of 60-ish Marine veterans from the war who were solidly behind him. And to be fair, Attorney General Blumenthal has been a conspicuous advocate for veterans in his state, so they're probably solid with him there. But I don't know what the difference is between misspeaking and fibbing and lying.
No difference, but you know, his relation with these guys sticking up for him is kind of like, well, I hate to get out. Roethlisberger and the police in Georgia stuck up for him, but let me just say one more thing.
Sure.
As far as honest politicians go, we had a guy named Honest Abe a long time ago, and George Washington, I don't think, ever lied to the people. And I'd throw Harry Truman and Ike Eisenhower in there, too. They're all honest politicians.
Steve, thank you for calling in from KDKA Pittsburgh. And if you haven't called, we now have a line open. And if you're already on hold, don't hang up, because we're going to roll right through after the top of the hour and stick with these three developing stories. Under pressure from lawmakers, BP ended up putting up a live internet video feed of that leak. And the House committee website where it was posted quickly crashed because so many people hit it all at once. If you go to any news site on the internet and look at which stories are most shared, it'll be there. And Facebook already has a bunch of related groups about this story. A quarter of the seafood Americans eat comes from the Gulf, vast areas of which are now closed to commercial fishing. And the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency has ordered BP to find a less toxic chemical dispersant than the chemical they have been using, which has been called a moderate human health hazard that can cause eye, skin, or respiratory irritation. So this story may be much closer to its beginning than its end. And I want to hear how you feel about Drill Baby Drill. Have you changed your mind? Talk to me about Rand Paul, who has dominated the headlines. And what about the Senate candidate in Connecticut who fibbed about serving in Vietnam? I'm Holland Cook on the Jim Bohannon Show. This is Westwood One.